On the U.S.-Mexico borderline, you'll find the small town of Sunland Park, New Mexico.
People moved to places like this because land was cheap land, as it were, and so people who didn't have a lot of income would try to find places to put their homes where they could afford it.
The small town is emblematic of the social, political, and environmental problems that impact many immigrant, Latino, and low-income communities in the border region and beyond.
They say, gosh, if the landfill wasn't here, all of our problems would go away. And I can tell you that that is not the case.
In this half hour, join journalist Kent Patterson in a journey into the many stories, sometimes hidden, of a struggling community in the 21st century.
We're seeing our what God gave us, our nature. It's a mesa, it's a hill. Right next to the hill is what man is doing. It's making another one right next to it.
From the back of Desert View Elementary School, local resident Norma Renteria gazes at the Camino Real landfill. For decades, Camino Real has functioned as the regional dump, with trash arriving from neighboring El Paso and the four known factories next door in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. Renteria says the dump, sitting on top of a major aquifer, has grown visibly over the years.
It was flat. You could see the other mountains further to Mexico. Now you can't see.
Why not?
Because the last fair is there. The trash is getting up.
Okay, so basically this mountain of trash just keeps growing and growing.
Yes, it is.
The landfill has long stoked controversy. Former New Mexico Environment Secretary Judith Espinosa in 1991 denied an adjacent medical waste incinerator permission to continue operating. Espinosa's order cited uncontrolled odors, the lack of air pollution controls, and emissions of hazardous substances, including hydrogen chloride, dioxins, lead, and cancer-causing cadmium, all close to homes and schools. Yet the landfill was allowed to continue accepting solid waste. It's been the focus of public battles like this 2007 permit hearing.
Okay, mi problema es que yo tengo viviendo aquí 7 años en esta comunidad.
Resident Natalia Gutierrez blamed Camino Real for health ailments, noise, dust from hundreds of dump trucks, and depressed property values.
En la mañana que me levanto para ir a trabajar a las escuelas, yo huelo, a veces veo el humo.
Ruben Segura was Sunland Park's mayor at the time.
Well, obviously our formal stand has been to have it closed and relocated. I think that the reality is, under Resolution 6-66, the council basically is demanding the closure of the landfill because of the social justice impact that it's having on our community. We're cognizant of the fact that we are humans that produce solid waste, but the reality is that there's a right location to have a regional landfill like this one.
Historically, this town has had two major businesses, Stan Fulton's Racetrack and Casino and the landfill. Camino Real spokesperson Suzanne Michaels insisted there was a lot of disinformation about the landfill, which had won environmental awards.
I'll tell you that we exceed every law that exists for handling trash. Trash is a huge issue for everybody. It cuts across all strata, whether you're old, rich, young, rich, or poor. Everybody creates trash. In the United States, it's 5 pounds of trash per person per day. And we have to have a solid way of handling trash. This community is very resistant. It is a very emotional issue in this community. But let's compare with Rio Rancho, which is just west of Albuquerque. This landfill is on the edge of Sunland Park. In fact, we actually border Mexico. One of our borders is the international border with Mexico. But in Rio Rancho, you do have two landfills that are literally in the center of town. But you've got a very affluent community in Rio Rancho. You've got a well-educated community in Rio Rancho. And you've got very expensive homes, I would say million-dollar homes, being built on the road up to the landfill. Why? Because it's a whole different way of looking at this issue. Here you've got a community that's trying to empower itself, and the way they're choosing to do it is by vilifying Camino Real landfill.
Michaels estimated Camino Real could last another 50 or 60 years and perform a valuable function in a region undergoing tremendous growth from the expansion of Fort Bliss and other factors.
Ellos hicieron estudios, pero en realidad nunca reflejaron realmente la problemática de
Isabel Santos had a different view. A founder of Concerned Citizens of Sunland Park, Santos later served as city councilor and mayor pro tem.
Y yo me quedé muy preocupada hace como 15 años porque es que
I became very worried about 15 years ago because we went door to door in the first 5 or 6 blocks closest to the landfill. The people were dying of cancer. It was door after door. Some had already died. Others had cancer. When it wasn't the father, it was the child or the mother. We asked for help, but like I said, we don't trust the official agencies because in these agencies, health or environment, there were people working for the landfill as experts or consultants, and they were not going to give us a genuine study.
Yo pienso que no es justo que nos traigan toda la basura de del Paso, Texas, a esta pequeña comunidad.
After a lengthy conflict, Camino Real, now managed by an out-of-state company, Waste Connections, prevailed. Early in 2011, the new administration of Governor Susana Martinez granted the landfill a 10-year permit with conditions. On the heights above Sunland Park, a train skirts Mount Cristo Rey and the Christ statue that attracts pilgrims. This community was once called Anapra.
And it was a satellite, informal community of residents, most of whom worked in El Paso, as far as I recall. The population was sparse. There was very little infrastructure.
A professor emeritus of the University of New Mexico, Dr. David Henkel, is also a member of the Good Neighbor Environmental Board, a U.S.-Mexico policy advisory group. The community planning specialist first visited Sunland Park back in 1977, when it was still called Anapra.
Sunland Park became incorporated in 1983, largely because it was, as an unincorporated community, it had not been able to access grants and loans for infrastructure improvements from either the county or the state. And so it decided that it needed to incorporate in order to have standing. At that time, the community had grown substantially. It was, again, the demographic profile was mostly Mexicano. There was evidence of more infrastructure and the beginnings of a kind of small town form.
The city of Sunland Park that we know of now, back in the early 80s, was 5 colonias.
Rose Garcia is executive director of Tierra del Sol, a nonprofit housing developer in New Mexico and Texas. Garcia was involved in the effort to incorporate Sunland Park nearly 30 years ago.
Before the incorporation, Anapra was the most historic of the colonias. And my staff and volunteers that I was involved in back in the early 80s went door to door. We sampled 104 houses and interviewed the people. Who were they? What did they need? What was their housing condition, their utilities? Did they have water, anything? And it was pretty bad shape, dirt streets, you know, sewer running in the streets, and very below the river. And so the state did come forth. They were one of the first resource with HUD, came into the picture through the state, a Department of Finance and Administration, and they brought in resources to put these drainage ponds along the mountain of Cristo Rey to retain the flood water. And then paved streets, concave streets, so that the water would run in towards the river, gravity flow, built a lift station. The first strategy was to evacuate the people out of that area and move them somewhere else. We polled everybody, the 104 houses. The people says, no, these are our homes, and this is our lot. May be modest. We may have a trailer or house, whatever, but this is our home. We do not want to move. And please find solutions. So they will all work together.
Sunland Park was classified a colonia by the federal government, making it eligible for special funding. Due in part to immigration, the population leaped from about 5,000 people in the early 1980s to approximately 15,000 by the time of the 2010 census. Yet the town remained poor, even by New Mexican standards. These days, a tour around Sunland Park reveals a mixture of site-built housing, public apartments, and old mobile homes. Winding around Cristo Rey, trains are part of the rhythm of daily life. They transport the goods of the global trade between the United States, Mexico, and Asia. A few yards from the track sits Ardovino's Desert Crossing restaurant. Robert Ardovino is concerned about the proximity of train traffic to homes and businesses. So far, he says, the town has been fortunate to escape major accidents.
Yeah, you know, there was a big dog food spill around the corner, around the mountain here on the El Paso side of Cristo Rey, you know, a couple of years ago. It was an enormous dog food spill. It's very strange, but there was just tons and tons of dog food along the tracks.
From the high ground, an onlooker can see the El Paso Electric Plant. Located next door to the Anapra neighborhood, the plant is a source of air pollutants. Tucked around the bend of Cristo Rey are an old brick factory, cement plant, and abandoned gasoline refinery that deposited lead contamination next to the Rio Grande. On some days, dust from unpaved roads in Ciudad Juarez and the desert itself blankets Sunland Park in a haze. Dr. David Henkel.
The geophysics and topography of the area lend itself to a lot of the airborne contaminants that affect people. And this is true, again, in dry areas across the border region where you have a lot of blowing dust and the particulates that are picked up and inhaled by people and cause asthma and cause other kinds of respiratory diseases are due to what is actually carried in the wind. And, of course, in areas of industrial concentration like Sunland Park area, you have the emissions from stacks, you have the dust that's left over from production processes, and you have precious little vegetation to hold it in place. So that there are a basket of problems which are combined to affect the population.
Then there is ASARCO. Located in El Paso, a little more than 2 miles from Sunland Park, the mothballed smelter spewed pollutants into the air, soil, and water for more than a century. The United States Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, blamed the smelter for lead and arsenic found in the soil of Sunland Park. Lead is known to cause developmental problems in children, and arsenic is linked to cancer. But there was another problem.
ASARCO publicly said that they were idling the plant because of copper prices, but they had meanwhile made a secret, a confidential settlement with the EPA and Federal Department of Justice.
Heather McMurray works with the Sunland Park Environmental Grassroots Group. McMurray says a settlement of ASARCO's unauthorized incineration of hazardous waste covered up an environmental travesty.
And they have tested it, say there's no radiation, but they outright refuse to look for alpha and beta particles here, and they're slowly demolishing these stacks that have the evidence inside of them, which would tell us what happened. The material would come out of these stacks, go into the air, and then settle inside our homes as dust over time. And indeed, you can look at attic dust for these alpha and beta radiation particles. It's really sad that this has gone on so long, and the public still isn't aware of how massive an operation this was between at least 1992 to 1998.
U.S. authorities say they have not found evidence of radioactive or unexpected contamination at ASARCO, but acknowledge they are still trying to compile complete information. ASARCO's El Paso smelter was owned by Grupo Mexico, a corporation controlled by Germán Larrea, one of the richest men in Mexico. For a time, the Carlyle Group associated with the Bush family had a stake in ASARCO. In a bankruptcy settlement, the company agreed to pay $52 million to remediate the smelter site. Sunland Park and Ciudad Juarez did not get any of that money.
Yo he viajado por todo el mundo y he convivido con varias gentes que han luchado por cuestiones ambientales, de justicia ambiental.
Mariana Chu is a longtime border environmentalist. Chu also served as Sunland Park's border affairs specialist and public utilities director until her controversial 2011 termination by the city council.
No fue una basura tóxica cualquiera, fue una basura que vino de un arsenal.
It wasn't just an old toxic waste. It was waste that came from a military arsenal. Everyone knew about it, except the affected communities. The relevant authorities knew about it, but never disclosed it at the local, state, or federal levels. They never talked about it again. And it's a very big injustice because you should let the people know, and they can say yes or no. But the biggest injustice is that it was done. It's a crime, one of the biggest crimes I can see in the world. The fact that waste was burned for such a long time and everyone was exposed to it without being told, it's a prime example of social and environmental injustice.
Sunland Park's residents have another big issue, their water, laced with high amounts of arsenic, a naturally occurring element as well as an industrial contaminant. The water is considered unfit to drink. Dr. David Henkel says the water quality problem is a major one up and down the border.
Most of those communities have very poor infrastructure. Many suffer from lack of potable water. Many suffer from contaminated water, which carries disease. Some of that water is used to irrigate vegetables that we consume. So this is more of a problem regionally than just locally. Not to make any excuses, New Mexico has had a Colonias Development Fund, but it's, like many such funds, severely undercapitalized.
In Sunland Park, many residents protested environmental racism. They were part of an international movement that surged in the 1980s. Grassroots organizations like Albuquerque's Southwest Organizing Project spearheaded campaigns in low-income communities of color. Activists raised issues of race, class, and pollution. Concerned Citizens of Sunland Park co-founder Isabel Santos.
Sunland Park is a community that is composed of 90-95% of people Hispana.
Sunland Park is a community that's 90 or 95% Hispanic. Perhaps the majority of parents don't speak English. I think that's why they put these types of dirty industries close to Latino communities, where maybe we can't organize so easily to demand justice. How is it possible that there is a dump right within the city of Sunland Park, on the very border with Mexico?
But I think it's also more complicated. For one thing, some of these industrial facilities were located in Sunland Park area long before the bulk of the current population, not only the individuals, but the size of the current population was present. People moved to places like this because land was undesirable by other people. It was cheap land, as it were, and so people who didn't have a lot of income would try to find places to put their homes where they could afford it.
Dr. David Henkel.
Also, our knowledge about the side effects, the health direct health effects and the indirect health effects of industrial pollution has increased over time, but back in the 60s and 70s, it really wasn't well documented or well understood. Having said that, I think that there are issues both of class and race at work. I think when you have low-income communities that can only afford to be in certain places, they often end up being in places that have low value because of the kind of industrial concentration which you referred to. Secondly, I think that it therefore is a question of class as well as of race. In this particular case, there's ethnicity involved because almost everybody in Sunland Park is Mexicano by birth or by extraction. And so there's that dimension to it. And there has been a lot of community mobilization supporting the community's profile in resisting new permitting attempts by the electric company and also by the landfill.
On the 100th anniversary of New Mexican statehood, Sunland Park became a prominent media story. But the coverage wasn't about the border town's environmental struggles. It was Sunland Park's political scandals that made the news. City council sessions were characterized by tension and passion. Factionalism gripped the political scene. Elected mayor in 2012, 28-year-old Daniel Salinas was jailed on charges of extortion, bribery, and voter fraud. By the end of the year, the Doñana County District Attorney's Office had pursued charges against 23 former municipal employees and contractors. The FBI began poking around town. For the first time in New Mexico history, the state government seized control of a municipality's finances. Saddled with a budget deficit, the city council slashed funding for the senior center and library, raised property taxes, and laid off employees. A good deal of the scandal was wrapped around plans for a new border crossing. To make a decades-old dream a reality, racetrack and casino owner Stan Fulton donated nearly $12 million for a development fund. It was a project that promised jobs, money, and growth for a poor community. City Councilor Carmen Rodriguez previously voted for one of the contracts that was later tainted with fraud, but now said she wanted answers.
My concern, of course, with all the recent events is the misuse of it. I definitely look at this project like a benefit for the region. So I really believe that we need to take care of this money and use it wisely, and not just because you want to go to a trip, waste it. It's something that will bring an economic boost to our community, so we need to cherish every single dollar that Mr. Fulton donated.
Residents in the news media were in for another surprise. One evening, a young man strolled into a city council meeting, resume in hand, and was appointed mayor. He was 24-year-old Javier Parea, a New Mexico State graduate and political newcomer. City Councilor Sergio Carrillo.
We nominated Mr. Hernandez since he was the runner-up for the elections. He was our first choice. As a council, we took a vote. They didn't approve it. So the only other choice that we had was Mr. Perea. And looking at his resume, he seems to have what we've been looking for. And he has that passion. He has that willingness to work when he knows that it's going to be a difficult job.
Initially, Perea was mayor for only 10 days because of questions surrounding the Open Meetings Act. However, he was later reappointed by the council. Though Sunland Park steamed in political scandal, residents like Bridget Nunez also complained of day-to-day problems like the drinking water.
We have to go buy our own water. It's okay, I guess, to cook with it, to bathe with it, and I mean, you have no choice but to bathe with it. But as far as drinking it, it's god-awful. It's god-awful.
Sí, y ellos estas corporaciones tan grandes provocan caos para que la gente se
Some affirm the political troubles diverted attention away from other major issues. Mariana Chu.
Nos atañe, por ejemplo, estamos distraídos con el caos político que existe en Sunland Park.
For instance, we're distracted by the political chaos in Sunland Park. While Asarco stacks are being torn down, and when we should be struggling for them not to be torn down, because many of us suffer illnesses related to the environment. And instead of looking for and finding remediation, instead of struggling against the landfill, we're distracted by a political circus that whips up social and economic chaos.
I think there's this concept of out of sight, out of mind that I've written about with colonias is that we don't see these communities. They're so far from centers of power. You know, we're hours away from Santa Fe, from the seat of power in the state. So I don't know how the government keeps tab on what's happening in the South.
Dr. Guillermina Nunez teaches anthropology at the University of Texas in neighboring El Paso. Nunez lived for 5 years in Sunland Park. She studies and writes about New Mexico colonias.
I have no trust in them. As a member of the public, I do not have trust in my government and my local officials, right? And I'm wondering, what's the role of the state? What's the role of the governor's office? who keeps tab? Where's the government oversight to make sure that we have clear, transparent, ethical political systems? And I don't know if that's possible. Ethics and politics don't usually seem to go in the same sentence, but I want to believe that I should be able to vote for someone and trust that they're going to represent the public without causing us further damage. And when you have the community of Sunland Park incorporated as a city, you know, you thought this idea of a colonia community on the U.S.-Mexico border graduating to become a city that is seeking its own representation, having a stand for itself, being able to stand for itself and not, no longer having to depend on the county to partition money to them. And what I feel has happened is here we have the city of Sunland Park, but I think they lost face value. They lost the ability to represent its citizenship with integrity. I do not see it. It's not there.
Like the majority of eligible voters, Dr. Nunez sat out the scandal-ridden 2012 mayoral election.
I will. I do have the right to be critical of the process, and the process is actually despicable. This is not democracy. I don't know what people are calling this, but it's a circus, and it's depressing to live in a community where government is laughed at, it's critiqued. Everybody, you know, I remember the last mayor was on a night show, you know, being laughed for being drunk and signing contracts. What is this? What is this, right? And people are like, where are you living? I said, I don't know. I'm like in the twilight zone between Texas, New Mexico, Mexico, the United States. I'm in the middle of two countries, two states.
I think they just need a little bit of a chance to go forward.
Rose Garcia is executive director of Tierra del Sol.
And there has emerged with some of their problems, has emerged some newfound leadership, as well as some of the old timers have emerged to try to provide some guidance. It's not a lost cause, certainly is not. And the people, I think that the people will emerge.
As Sunland Park moves into the future, some are trying to steer it onto a different course. Here at the Sunland Park Farmers Market, a group of children sell plants. Danny, Desiree, Destiny, and their friends form a loose-knit but dedicated group called Sustainable Sunland. Young, brown, and bilingual, they reflect the contemporary and future face of New Mexico. Sustainable Sunland aims to transform an environmentally challenged place into a land of gardens, ecologically friendly living, and grassroots development. Taylor Moore is the group's 80-year-old mentor.
Harvest the rainwater, harvest the sunshine, harvest the wind, and harvest the energy that comes from these kids.
The story of Sunland Park transcends the town's borders. Its struggles and scandals pose many questions of societal priority when it comes to community health, the environment, education, and economic development. And Sunland Park raises other fundamental questions on how ethics, transparency, and accountability figure into power and politics. These are the pressing issues that will shape the history and identity of Sunland Park, the border region, and New Mexico into the 21st century.
The Hidden Stories of Sunland Park was written and produced by Kent Patterson. This documentary was produced in commemoration of the New Mexico Centennial of Statehood and is part of the Enduring Legacy series. This program was made possible in part by funding from the McCune Charitable Foundation. The producers of this program are solely responsible for its contents. I'm Mercedes Mejia. Thanks for listening.